the service. I appreciate what's been done this morning. Thank God for the good testimonies. Thank God for the good songs of Zion. Thank God for the good stir of the Holy Ghost. And I come more and more to realize every day that except the Lord, the Holy Ghost of God comes down, that it is all in vain what we try to do for Him. It does take Him. But I want to try to share with you just a few minutes, a couple of things from these verses of Scripture. Now, verse 1 is a general principle that teaches us that a man who suffers generally reflects on his ways. It says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise of the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." This is a general principle that teaches us that the man who suffers generally reflects on his ways, is humbled, fears approaching death, loathes himself because of his past iniquities, and ceases from them. For in a state of suffering, the mind loses its relish for the sins of the flesh, because they're embittered to him through the apprehension which he has of death and judgment. And then upon his application to God's mercy, he's delivered from his sin and no longer continues in that same lifestyle and is changed by the grace of God. Furthermore, we're taught in the same verse that Christ has suffered and that He also is our pattern. We are to have the same disposition He had, the same forgiving spirit that He had. And with meekness, my friend, and gentleness, and complete self-possession, we are to deal with our sufferings in this life, knowing that, thank God, one day we'll escape out of this old world and go to a place where there'll be no more sin, and there'll be no more suffering, and there'll be no more troubles, and there'll be no more trials, and there'll be no more death, and there'll be no more parting, and all things are passed away, and all things become new. But I'm interested specifically this morning in verse number 2, where it said that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the lust of the flesh, or in the lust of men, but to the will of God. And now Peter had made some big mistakes in his life, and now he was committed for the rest of his life to serve God. Amen. I'm telling you, we cannot undo, friend, what we've already done in the past. But we can be sure to make one thing: the future count for Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:14, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." He said that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. He said, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. We walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries." I lived my life, Peter said, "before I met the Lord, and doing everything that's sinful and ungodly, doing all the works of the flesh." And listen, he said, "but I determined to not live that way any longer. I determined that the rest of my time on this world, I'm going to live for God." Matter of fact, he said, "they think it strange that we run not with them the same excess of right, and they speak evil of you." Amen. The world assessment says, "Why? You don't live the same way you used to live. They think it's strange that you don't run to the same excess and the same rides and the same lifestyle that they lead." But Peter says, "I've determined. I've committed in my heart. I've lived that way. I know what happens when you live like that. I've been out there where they are. And I've determined for the rest of my time. I've determined and committed for the rest of my life. I'll not live according to the lust of the flesh and the world and the devil. But I'm going to live the rest of my life for the Lord. I've ceased from sin. I've suffered from it in the flesh. I've dealt with the effects of it in the flesh. I've learned my lesson. And I'm going to live for God. Let the world go what direction they will. Let man do what he will. Let my brother and sister do what they will. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord for the rest of my days, for the rest of my time, for the rest of my life. I'm going to serve the Lord." My Lord in heaven, what a commitment to make. that Peter makes here and says we should do the same. And now, listen, friend, he talks about in verses 5 and 6 why we ought to make that commitment, because we're going to give an account. I'm way under ahead of myself. That'll be like preaching just about where I am now. He said, because we're going to give an account of ourselves. And to my friend, we're going to stand before the Lord in judgment. And now, listen, I want to preach this morning for the Lord to help me just a minute or two now on the rest of my life. The rest of my life. There are some truths we need to put into practice in order to live the rest of our lives before Jesus. First of all, you need to possess your mind. Rather, my friend, you need to possess His mind. You need to possess His mind. Verse number 1 said, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind as Christ is our pattern. We are to arm ourselves with the same mind, a like mind of Christ. We need to arm our mind. The mind is the thought life. Proverbs 23 and 7 said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Romans 8 and 7 said, because this carnal mind has enmity against God. Philippians 2 and 5 said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Though I may not have always had or thought the right thoughts in the past, for the rest of my life, I want to arm my mind by possessing His mind. Not only do you need to arm your mind, but possess His mind by arming your mind, you need to possess His mind by aiming your mind. Aiming your mind. Isaiah 26 and 3 said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Romans 12 and 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Having set Christ as your example, as your pattern, as your target, have my friend, aim your mind at His mind. Don't compare yourself with others, but focus on having the mind of Christ. Amen. I mean, friend, I want to live the rest of my life for God. That means I'm going to have to possess His mind. Secondly, not only do I want to possess His mind, I want to practice His will. I want to possess His mind, and I want to practice His will. Verse number 3 said, in the time past, we sought after the will of the Gentiles. We walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. In other words, everything the world had to offer, those revelings, my friend, drunken parties, the singing songs, and they're going the ways of the world, all the lust and lasciviousness, and my friend, fornications and adulteries and idolatries and idol worship, all that the world and everything it has to offer, and that's what we lived according before we ever met the Lord. In time past, we lived according to the will of the Gentiles or of the world. Today, friend, we are to live and practice the will of God. I mean, for the rest of my life. Somebody said, preacher, I know about your past. I'm not interested in the past. What I'm interested in and what God's interested in this morning is what you're going to do with the rest of your life. Amen. I mean, verses 19 through, or 15 through 19, don't have time to read all that. We find that if we do God's will, we invest in the rest of our life. But if we give in to the world, we waste the rest of our lives. Amen. I mean, if we're to put into practice the will of God, we've got to know the will of God. What is the will of God for my life and yours? I want to say this morning, salvation is God's will. Amen. I mean, 2 Peter 3 and 9 said, not willing, that is, should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has providentially determined to save all them that'll come to Him and trust in Him in repentance and faith. Amen. Salvation is God's will. I want to say service is God's will. Romans 12 and 1 said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
God, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say unto every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly and righteously, as God has done unto every man a measure of faith. It's the perfect will of God for everybody that's ever been saved to be baptized, join a local Bible believing church, and go to work. Amen.
Service is God's will. You want to live in practice of the will of God. Service is God's will. Salvation is God's will. I want to say sanctification is God's will. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. I mean, to be sanctified is to be made holy. It's God's will to sanctify you wholly. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 said he wanted to sanctify you wholly. And not H-O-L-Y, W-H-O-L-L-Y. He wants to sanctify you completely. He wants to sanctify you all together. And now to be sanctified means to be made holy. H-O-L-Y. In other words, you might could say it this way. As being sanctified means to be made holy, holy. Amen. W-H-O-L-L-Y. H-O-L-Y. Holy, holy. Completely holy. All together holy. I'll tell you, God wants you to be holy, holy. He wants you to be altogether holy. Hey, thank God. And sanctification is a process whereby God makes you holy, holy. He'll sanctify your heart and He'll give you the wherewithal to sanctify your hands. Isn't that what the Scripture said, James 4:8? Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you devil-minded. Amen. The working power of the Holy Ghost sanctifies a man inwardly. And the working power of the indwelling of God, how works to sanctify Him outwardly. Amen. He'll change the way you live. It's not just the will of God for you to be right within. It's the will of God for you to live right without. Amen. I don't want to live the rest of my life practicing the will of God. I want to possess His mind. I want to practice His will. If you don't have a burning desire down inside of you to practice the will of God, it's a sign you ain't never been saved. All saved folks have a burning desire to practice the will of the Lord. I want to practice His will. I want to possess His mind. I want to say for the rest of my life, I want to prepare for His judgment. Amen. Verse 5 said, who shall give an account to Him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? I want to tell you, friend, we're going to stand before God and we better prepare for judgment. The prophet of God in the Old Testament, I believe it was Amos. I'm not certain, but I believe it was Amos said, prepare to meet thy God. Consider your ways and prepare to meet thy God. I want to tell you, friend, it's time we get prepared for the judgment day is coming. Amen. That's right. On that day, our secrets will be exposed. Ecclesiastes 12:14 said, God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or bad. Our secrets will be exposed. Our standing will be expressed. Romans 14:10 said, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Our stand on that day will reveal or express our stand in this day. You're not going to meet God different than the way you live here. You're going to meet Him exactly how you live here. That's right. That's the reason Psalm 1:5 said, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. One can only stand unashamed in that day if he lives pleasing to God today. I want to prepare for His judgment. I want to say thirdly this morning, fourthly this morning, I want to be patient to His people. Amen. Amen. I want to possess His mind. I want to practice His will. I want to prepare for His judgment. I want to be patient to His people. Verses 8 and 9. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. use hospitality to one another without grudging, it says. In other words, a loving disposition leads us to pass by the faults of others, to forgive those who do us wrong, and to pray for the forgiveness of the transgression of other men. I mean, furthermore, we must do these things without grumbling, but patiently helping our brethren grow in the Lord. I'll tell you, friend, I want to live the rest of my life patient with the brethren, not always finding fault, always picking everybody else apart, always griping and grumbling about how they could have done it different and could have done it better than how I would have. I'd rather be impatient with others and loving others and praying for others and supporting others and trying to be a help to others along this way. I want for the rest of my life to live it patient to His people. Possess His mind. Practice His will. Prepare for His judgment. Patient with His people for the rest of my life. I want to promote His glory. For the rest of my life, I want to promote His glory. Verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Oh, God, help me, Lord. That's the only ability I've got is the one the Lord gives. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. At Madison, friend, we are to glorify God. To glorify is to make someone look good in the eyes of others. And that is what we do for God. And to the world, when we live according to the precepts of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 said, whatsoever, or whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I want to say, friend, for the rest of my life, for the rest of my days, if it's one day or 1,000, for the rest of my days, I want to promote His glory that others might see Jesus in me. Amen. Whatever it is, if we're speaking, ministering, just living our life, everything that we do, let it be done that He may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Let Christ be receive glory out of your life. Can the world see Jesus? See Jesus in you. Are you living the life? Are you faithful and true? Can the world see Jesus? Can the world see Jesus in you? My God, help us. I'm done preaching. I want you to come on with a song. Listen to me tonight, this morning. Listen to me now. The Apostle Peter said, in the time past, I walked after the will of the Gentiles. I lived in revelings and sin and fornication and idolatry and everything else that the world had to offer. I walked according to the course of this world. Paul said we lived according to the prince of the power of the air. Walked according to the lust of the flesh. But he said in verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. He said, the rest of my days, my past is past. And for the rest of my days, things are going to be different. For the rest of my life, I want to live after the will of God, not the lust of men. For the rest of my life, I want to be a witness of Christ. For the rest of my life, I want to go to church. For the rest of my life, I want to read His Bible. For the rest of my life, I want to be a prayer warrior. For the rest of my life, I want to be a witness. For the rest of my life, I want to praise His name. For the rest of my life, I want to bring Him glory. For the rest of my life, I want to invest my life, my talents, my being, all that I have, and all that I am in the things of God. From this day forward, things are going to be different. Don't waste your life, but invest the rest of your life in God and others. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. I want to encourage you to make the most of it. For the rest of your life, use it to live for Jesus. Invest it in the Lord. Would you stand? Maybe you need to come this morning. You need to make the commitment the Apostle Peter made. The past is past. And I'm not going to any longer live in the lust of the flesh, according to the will of the Gentiles, but I'm going to walk according to the will of God. Saints, sinner alike, may need to come make that commitment this morning. Some in salvation, some in service, but need to come make a commitment to the Lord.
for the rest of your life, things are going to be different, starting today, starting now. Amen. Would you come to business with God? I wish you would.
There's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree, and it whispers, draw closer to me. Leave this world far behind. There are new heights to climb and a new day. In me you will find.
I'm going to walk with God like I've never walked with Him before. I'm going to commit to Him. I'm going to walk after His precepts. I'm going to be faithful to His will. Regardless of what others may say, what others may do, I'm going to walk with God. Oh, my Lord, if Mama goes, I'm going. If Mama don't go, I'm going. If Daddy goes, I'm going. If Daddy don't go, I'm still a going. If friends and neighbors encourage me or they discourage me, I'm still a going. If others say you're crazy, I'm going to say I'm just saved. And I'm walking home with God. When others discourage me, I'll encourage myself in the Lord. And I'll commit to walk with the Lord. And regardless of whether or not that the world accepts me or not, whether or not they approve of me, if they think it's strange, He said, my friend, that you run not with them with the same excess of pride, they'll speak evil of you, that you don't give an account to them. He says, you're going to give an account to Him that's ready to judge the quick and the dead. You better live the rest of your life as a life lived for Jesus. And life well lived, you can stand before the Lord and hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, and I'll make you rule over many. But He'll not say, well done, if you've not done well. For the rest of your life, for the rest of your life. This is the first day of the rest of your life, and now is the time to do business with the Lord. Make some commitments and follow through with them. Amen. That's right. Listen, hey, friend, I mean, come today and chop the head off of that king in your life, that thing that's ruling your life, and put Jesus on the throne. And let Him rule and reign in your life, in your home, in your family. And everything can be different when you leave out of this place today. I mean, listen, hey, Christ is bigger than careers. He's bigger than relationships. He's bigger than bank accounts. It's more important, my friend, than big cars and fancy houses and prominence in the community and fitting in with a social group and not been the approval of men. It's bigger. It's more important than that. We're talking about eternal implications of today's actions. And it's time we sell out and say goodbye for the rest of my life. From this day forward, things are going to be different for me. Are you committed? Are you committed to doing everything God would have you to do in your life for His honor and for His glory? Is it just according, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, just according when we God put God in our box? Just according when He meets our anticipations, when He goes along with our ambitions, when He's, my friend, in congruence with our goals? Or rather, is it, my friend, all that we're willing to get in congruence with His goals? Those two cannot walk together except they be agreed. Would you get in agreement with the Lord? Would you walk with God? Would you be found faithful to His will? I mean, we're going to stand before Him and give an account for everything done in this body. That it means you and me, all of us. And listen, you're not going to be able to rest on whatever I've done. And I'm not going to be able to rest on whatever you've done. I mean, you've been a good church, and I can't stand before the Lord, and I'm going to have to answer for what kind of pastor I am. And I can't say, Lord, I've had a good church. He's not going to deal with me about that. He's going to deal with me about the kind of pastor I've been. Amen. And you can't stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I went to a good church. We had a fire-breathing preacher. We had a King James Bible. He's going to deal with your life, where you live your life, where you spend your days, friend. For the rest of your life, for the rest of your life, for the rest. I don't know how long the rest of my life is, Brother Jeff. I don't know. I don't know how long the rest of my life is. Oh, Hezekiah thought he was doing pretty good. He got a little sick. Maybe he was not even feeling good at all. He might have even thought that he was in pretty bad shape. But he wasn't anticipating dying. Or else he'd have got in serious with the Lord. Because when the prophet come to him and said, you're going to die. Isaiah said, you're going to die. Set your house in order. You're going to die and I'll live. He turned his face toward the law and got in earnest then. He'd have been earnest beforehand if he really thought he was going to die before that. He thought he had plenty of time. I don't know how long the rest of this life's going to be. Everybody in this building may attend my funeral tomorrow. Next day. I don't know how long the rest of this life's going to be. But I do know, I don't know when He'll hold my hand across this river. But I do know whether it's through the fire or through the flood, through the water, through the blood, He'll hold my hand all the way home. And I want to live the rest of my life, however long those days are.